And a hearty welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 838. Let's go to the community corkboard. After all this time, no community corkboard theme music. I really dropped the ball. Maybe it should be called Dropping the Ball should be the theme music. Dropping the ball, but picking it up for the corkboard. Oh, that's kind of catchy. The band Islands, headed by musician Nick Thorburn, has two shows in LA and New York coming up in December. There will be extra special shows. They will be playing Return to the Sea in its entirety and have special guests and featured players. Tickets and info can be found at islandsareforever.com. Also, Tony M. writes, I'd like to ask the Nerdist community members to help support our Shadow Ridge High School band in Surprise, Arizona. Oh, man. How can you not make the pun? But they hear it all the time. It's like when people make fun of my last name and I'm like, yeah, and my eyes just roll back into my head. All right, Surprise, Arizona. I'm not going to make a joke about Surprise, Arizona. Although I just did. Take it back. You have a great flag, Arizona. It's a real good flag. My favorite flag in the United States is the Arizona flag. That is a gorgeous flag. It's nice. Soak it up. Anyway, Shadow Ridge is one of many schools that have been hit hard by budget cuts to the arts programs, and despite this, they've grown each year and currently have over 100 amazing students. This year, they have the opportunity to do their first out-of-state performance for the Holiday Bowl in San Diego. He's asking people to support by clicking on the donate link to their Band Booster website, which is srhsbandboosters.com. SRHSBandBoosters.org. All proceeds go to support the band, help pay for the Holiday Bowl trip, and also toward music, instruments, and all of the costs associated with keeping the music program running. I'm clicking that link now. I'm going to start a paper route. No, that's from Pee-wee's Big Adventure, but I actually am going to donate to this. It'd be nice if you did too. You don't have to. Hey, I know. Times are tough, man. But kids, you guys. Kids playing music. There's a future. There's a future David Gates and Bread in there. There's a future, I'm just naming old bands from the 70s. There's a future Ambrosia in there somewhere, Gen Xers and or Baby Boomers. Millennials, take a powder. All right, Millennials, come back. I need you. I need you or my empire falls apart. This episode is a very special crossover episode with Anna Faris and Sim Sarna. They had said, hey, do you want to come on Unqualified? And I said, hey, do you want to come on Nerdist? So we did that. They came and did Nerdist, and then I went to Anna's house and did Unqualified. And I adore these people. These people are the real fucking deal. It's so fucking funny, and it was really great to get to know her and make a new friend, and we had a great time. So if you listen to this and you enjoyed the dynamic, god damn it, there's more. Go over to Anna Faris is Unqualified, which is over on iTunes, and you can sort of pick up and hear the rest of, well, yeah, they're connected, yeah, so you can hear the rest of the conversation over there. Hear what it's like in our podcast studio, and then go, hey, what does it sound like when Chris and Anna talk in Anna's house? Well, you're covered. We can provide that for you. So listen to both. Spend your whole day listening to me gab with Anna Faris and Sim Sarna, but they have a great operation over there. It's very professional, actually. There's like people, and it's almost like a little crew of people who make that podcast happen. And it was super, super, super fun. We are cut from the same cloth, I believe. And that cloth is dazzling and electric. So here you go. This is Anna Faris. This is Nerdist Podcast is Unqualified with Anna Faris and Sim Sarna. This episode also brought to you by, oh, and you should probably also watch Mom, which is a show that Anna is on with Allison Jenny, a former Nerdist Podcast guest. So watch that, listen to the podcast, listen to the other podcasts we did, and then just pledge eternal loyalty to both of us, if you don't mind. We'll divide your time up. So if you get bored of me, go to Anna and reverse, and then just keep ping-ponging back and forth. We'd greatly appreciate your lifetime pledge of loyalty. All right, this is the Nerdist Podcast number 838. Nerdist Podcast is Unqualified. Katie Levine, you are qualified to please roll the thing.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
You don't wear headphones?
No. We just talk like people. That's it.
Yeah, the headphones. Do you feel trapped by the headphones?
No, it makes me feel like I'm doing something very intimate.
Do you want headphones? You could have them.
Really?
You'd have to take mine.
I have some.
Okay. No, I don't want you to have to go to any.
I do have a
splitter. I might have some brand new ones in a box.
I have a splitter.
No, you guys.
Just do this.
Okay.
Just do this.
I'm in a safe place. Nothing's going to go
yes,
wrong.
This is not safe. Why? There's no way you would ever remember this, but unless I completely am misremembering something, I feel like in 2002, I was at a place called the Brass Monkey, which was a karaoke bar.
Oh, boy.
And nothing crazy happened, but the bar was closing. The reason I say 2002 is because I quit drinking in 2003, so I remember that I was drinking. And I feel like you were there, and I feel like you said to a group of people, come back to my apartment. We'll keep hanging out. And we went to this place next to the Beverly, to the Grove.
You got this right.
I was there. Next to the Grove.
I remember this.
And I remember it like 2:30 in the morning, ringing your, like a group of us were ringing your apartment.
No. And did we not let you in?
And no one answered.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's because I passed out. I'm so sorry.
No, that's all right. I probably passed out shortly.
No, that
after
was
that.
So. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Will you please come back?
Yes,
someday?
After this podcast, we're all gonna.
I still live there,
but it's only funny if you don't answer the door again. Then we get there like, God damn
I'm
it!
So sorry. That really, I definitely have the tendency of getting swept up in the moment, and I think like, yep, I got a bunch of new best friends, and it's all gonna be good. And
what was your karaoke jam?
Oh, you know, I hate karaoke.
Okay. I hope you just got up on stage and said, I'm not going to sing a song. This is dumb. And fuck all you guys.
What's your karaoke jam?
Oh, I don't really do it much anymore. It was just I was in a small group at the time. And we went like every Monday night to Brass Monkey.
I can't sing. But more than that, I'm like one of those karaoke singers that's... I'm bad in not like the most atrocious sort of flamboyant way. I'm just bad. It's bad in a very unentertaining way. So in a place that where people are like, please get off the stage.
But I feel like when people do that, they default to the, I'll just do Baby Got Back, you know, because it's not singing and it's rap and it's kind of funny. And
yeah.
Then if you nail it, they'll carry you out of there.
Really?
Yeah. But if you don't, now there's social media, and they'll be like, Anna Faris did not do a good job with Baby Got Back. And then it'll be on Snapchat and all over Instagram. There's no safe space if people know who you are.
But wait, you don't have a good karaoke go-to?
No, not anymore.
But what was it back in the day?
It was Led Zeppelin. There was maybe some... what else was there? Maybe some Almost Paradise from the Footloose soundtrack. There was a little bit of...
Almost Paradise.
See? That sounds fantastic. Great. What are you talking about? And you know what
it sounds. You can sing. I didn't realize it just now.
I was... you had Ike Barinholtz on your podcast a while back, and you guys were trying to figure out the Family Ties theme, and I was shouting
thank
at
you
the
for
fucking,
listening to that, though.
I was like...
That's right.
You yeah. can't...
Chris, thank you.
Of course. Can you do it for us?
Bet we've been together for a million years.
And remember the spin?
Yes, the Meredith Baxter Burney spin. Yeah.
And Skippy ran through.
He ran through, and then there was all sorts of mayhem. And see, the funny part was the family was super liberal, but their son was a Republican.
Oh, boy.
I know. Boy, I tell you. But,
that's just how my son Jack's going to be.
Just a little red power tie. Tiny little red clip-on power
Reagan
tie.
Reagan lover.
Yeah. So what made you decide to start doing a podcast a year ago?
I was going to ask you the same thing.
What made me decide to start doing
yes.
a podcast? Well, I've been doing it for almost 7 years now. I don't even remember.
I know. But yeah, but how did you start?
I started because... I was tired of feeling like a piece of kelp in the ocean of the entertainment business. And also, when you're a stand-up, you if you feel like you need to get your voice into the world so people will come see you. And it was a period of time where there was not a lot of stand-up on television. And so a lot of comics just sort of bled through into podcasts because it was a way of kind of being ourselves. And so, yeah, I did it just as a rejection to
And did you, like, order microphones and start at your house or, like...
Yeah, I spent, like, $1,000 getting all the equipment. And there was a job I was... A pilot that I thought was going to get picked up didn't get picked up. I got really mad, and as a reaction to that, I was like, fuck this, I'm gonna do a podcast, fuck you.
But podcasting wasn't podcasting like it is today. So when you started, people were downloading your podcast from their
off
desktops?
And then just like coconuts, and we'd put a wire with cups.
But there was a way to measure,
it was right after the time iTunes. Before that, it was very early adoptery, and there were these different file formats, and you'd have to have like a real player, and there was like this Ogg Vorbis file format, and it was like having a ham radio. And then iTunes kind of it's like flipped the playing field when they put it into iTunes, and it sort of legitimized the platform and also just made it accessible to people. That was it.
So much for sorry. Now I need to interject my own.
Interject your story. I asked you.
Interject.
I asked you.
Thank you. So I'm going to interrupt your story thanking you.
But what if I told my entire podcast story? Then I was like, well, that's all the time we have. Thanks, guys, for being here.
No, I actually would probably save me from a lot of humiliation.
You know what, though? I think you will appreciate the fact now that you've been doing a podcast for about a year, it's so much easier to be a guest on a podcast.
Oh, my gosh.
No pressure.
I really was. Yes, really grateful to come here. And to feel
she was just telling me that. She just said, you know what, how I feel fantastic because I don't have to run the podcast.
You don't have to drive it. Yeah, there's no pressure. Exactly. You're just a passenger and people want to know about you.
But now that I'm here, though, honestly, I feel pretty nervous.
What are you nervous? No. This is the most comfortable, warm...
I know that on a fundamental level. But, you know, on the other level, it also feels like... I guess this is another space where you do feel, which is the beauty of doing podcasts, but you do feel a different level of exposure.
Sure.
When you're an actor, you get to hide behind, words and faces and whatnot.
Right.
Anyway. Sorry.
Yeah. And also, before podcasting, there really wasn't a medium that was this accessible that opened up this much of people that you would see but didn't really know much about, unless someone got on Charlie Rose or Inside the Actor Studio or NPR, but this scale of like, oh, what's that person like in a conversation for an hour?
I mean, Howard Stern has been doing that for a long time, so he's one of the few,
he's sort of the godfather of the style.
Yes.
I would say, of just having a conversation and just seeing how
absolutely
people react.
Where it's not really an interview per se, it's more of just a conversation,
getting
to know someone.
Exactly. He will, though. He's really funny at... People just expect that he's just going to hit them with questions and put them on the spot.
Right.
And they just answer because he's Howard. He just has a very specific magic about him. But do you like... What made you decide to start doing a podcast?
Well, I want to answer that question, but I also want to sort of... What if I was... If I were to Howard Stern you...
Okay.
And ask you, like...
How many vibrators I put in my butt?
Yeah, like, so, Chris.
Yes, Howard.
Come on.
What?
Come on, tell me. Seriously, like, do you like bush? Do you like wax? Like, do you like asshole?
Well,
do you like pussy? Like, do you like coming on tits? Coming on the face?
Howard, all those things are delightful things. I suppose. I mean, how
they're
could I
delightful.
Pick a preference?
That's your objective.
Yes. It's like to pizza or ice cream. I don't know. Like, they're both delicious. I don't know.
I'm not really getting much out of you, Chris.
Is it? Are bushes coming back?
Well, that's been the big topic of the year.
I mean, I know they'll probably talk about it on the debate Sunday, I'm sure.
Oh, God willing.
Right. No, the Bush already got cut out of the Republican. His last name is the same thing as the thing that is
Big Theory.
We actually did talk about that on our podcast, actually, about the Bush coming back.
Bush back. My is gynecologist it? Told me that the Bush is back.
and better than ever.
And I don't know what to do. I'm like partly through lasering or whatnot. Look at my sweet Dom. She's like, oh, hooray.
So you're halfway through this process.
Yeah, and I sort of stopped. But I don't know. What's a woman supposed to do? What are we supposed to do?
I think you're supposed to laser the words class of 84 or class of 92 down there. And just
class
have,
of 92?
Yeah.
Well,
what year did you graduate high school?
94.
Ah, fuck. Well, then class of 92 would be a very
Did you
odd
really
thing.
Think?
No. Oh,
that's
I didn't
cool.
know.
That's cool, Chris.
I just automatically go
so
to class
you
of 84
your
because.
Dear diary, Chris Hardwick clearly did his research. I am now 43 years old, feeling great about myself and my huge ass bush.
Class of 84 just sounds cool. Like, whatever it is, like, whether or not you're a class of 84.
Right,
class of 84.
Well,
no, I know you're significantly younger than
We'll debate
than I am.
This later.
Yeah. We're going to have this Bush high school
what
debate.
Wait, what year did you graduate?
89.
Oh, you look young.
Well, I'm wearing TV makeup, to be fair.
I got to tell you, you look very handsome.
Well, my gosh, thank you so much. I should wear this all the time.
I am known as the great complimenter.
No, you're a much better complimenter than I. No, you.
Oh, darn it, Chris Hardwick. He's already trumping me.
So what's the theory behind let's go back to Bush's? Is there, if your gynecologist is like, they're back, is there a...
I don't know. That was my question.
And so you're... You said, without getting too personal, but you offered the information. So
no,
you're,
sure.
You said you're halfway through this process.
Yes.
So what made you say, because I don't think I could ever have someone aim a laser at my area and feel comfortable with that not going sideways.
What do you mean?
Like just a laser at your area feels, even if they say it's okay, still feels dangerous in some way.
Well... Yes.
Doesn't it hurt?
Not that bad. Not as bad as waxing.
Okay.
But I think the more of the thing is like, man, now you see all these cool, like, hipster people with, you know, women that are owning their body hair in an amazing way. It's like armpits and, you know, pubic and, like, leg hair. And it's like, this is me and, like... Fuck you, dick, if you don't accept it.
Right.
And I love that mentality. And I wish that... And now I'm like the sellout who's like, oh, I'm just... I guess I'm conforming to whatever the men might like.
You could get a variety of merkins to... For to suit any mood.
Okay. So, okay. Let's back this up.
Okay.
So yes. My husband comes home from an extended... You know, whatever, work.
Yeah.
He's been working, let's say, on Guardians of the Galaxy.
Sure. I've heard of it.
Yeah, sure. And he comes home and he's like, babe, what happened to all your vagina hair?
Which is a very clinical thing to say to your wife.
That's when I'm like, sweetheart, don't worry. You take a shower. I'll unpack your bags. Don't worry. Meanwhile, while he thinks I'm unpacking his bags, I have my sweet hair lady come in. Glue merkins.
Right.
To
in the
my
shape
vagina.
Of Baby Groot.
In the shape of Baby Groot. And, you know.
Because, you know, he's just been at work, so he's going to think that's hilarious.
It's all.
So he's
good.
Taking a very long shower for this process. So you've hidden a person to come
I
in?
Don't know, I don't know. I'm asking you, Chris. Is this what men want? What do men want? That's the problem.
I don't know. I personally think a Groot merkin would be the best thing in the world.
A Groot merkin. Oh, Groot, yeah.
Would be the best thing in the world.
Like a small tree that dances.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. An animatronic Groot merkin.
Okay, now you're saying
Katie,
that
park that domain
this is
this
going
instant.
To get Chris Hardwick hard.
Yes, this is all, because I'll tell you what, even if you're like, at a certain point, you're like, all right, well, this is just getting in the way. There's a certain amount of like, hey, that was a fun thing to do. Because guys, there's not.
Yeah, what turns a man on? That's the mystery.
I don't.
Because I really think that it might be like a bare vagina.
I'm not complicated, so I just think like doing it is great. Like, I don't have a lot of, I don't have to,
that's why
to,
you're
like,
a wonderful man.
I have to, I'm pretty great. But I don't have to, like, I don't, you know, I don't have to fool my area into thinking, oh, we're in a, you know, we've been imprisoned on a space colony. And we're being forced to breed to create more human. Like, I don't have to. Oh. Although now that I think about it, it's pretty hot. But yeah, I don't really. I'm not complicated that way. I am very vanilla. I am exceptionally vanilla. So I just don't really have a lot of. Like, the fact that my wife wants to have sex with me is a huge. Is great.
I gotta tell you, I'm the same way. I don't care about, like, grooming. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just want, like, cuddly love.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, sure, a good boning now and then.
But, I mean, sure. Sure.
But I don't need any, like, I'm not, I'm so self-absorbed that I don't care about the aesthetic.
Are you ever going to finish the lasering process?
Probably not. I mean, no, probably not. Do you think I should?
I don't have I don't get a vote, and I don't have an opinion.
I'm sorry that we got on this whole.
I don't mind at all. I don't mind at all.
I'm sorry. It feels like it's boring.
It's not.
Who wants to hear about my labia hair?
I mean, people are probably like, dudes are crashing their cars listening to this.
I wish if it were sexy, but it's not. You know what? Wait. Let me pitch a sexier version of it.
Okay.
Hey, Chris.
Hello.
Oh my God, it's so good to be here on your podcast.
Oh.
I just want to tell you about all my vaginal pubic hair that I'm getting removed.
Guys don't have an equivalent of that, though. There's no.
No, come on. You could do it. Come on.
Hey, Anna. Great that you.
Hey,
is that a.
It's sort of like we're
is
just
that an animatronic Groot Merkin?
You know, what's interesting to me is that I think there are a lot of women who think that. I mean, I don't know if they've just been with douchebags or whatever, like guys who are not cool, but, you know, but sometimes, you know, like, oh, don't. It's not. I don't know. Are you sure you like it down there? It's like, yeah, we do. It's great. We like everything about it.
I love that.
We like everything about it.
I think women need to hear that more because we're so much sort of, I don't know. I feel like there's so much of like the porn. We're so inundated with the beautiful women that are in porn that we know that our men probably watch or whatever. And I just feel... You know, like most women, like, oh, gosh, like, are we supposed to look like them, sound like them?
No.
Sounding like them, that's a big thing.
But see, that's like thinking that if you're watching Vampire Diaries, that everyone should be a vampire. Like, I think people know that it's a heightened...
Do you want to make love to vampires?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, I do.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You're cool.
Just want to fuck a couple vampires. No big deal. They're dead. It's not cheating. But I feel like people need to be okay with the fact that a guy, women, I think need to understand, like, a guy is just happy to be in that zone at all. And you don't have to. And I would also, cause I've talked to people before, like women who are friends of mine who are like, I don't know. It's like, why would a guy like going down there? I wouldn't. I'm like, but you don't think about it like you. It's not. You just have to trust that a guy enjoys that experience.
Really?
Yes. Absolutely. Be proud of your vagina, girl.
Absolutely correct.
Thank you.
I agree with everything you're saying.
Thank you.
Can this podcast be called Be Proud of Your Vagina?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sponsored by stamps.com.
Why wait at the mailbox?
Speaking of boxes. Katie.
Is this the part where you guys edit this out?
No, that is.
Oh, really? Oh, yes. I like that.
Yes.
If we were on.
If it was us, yeah, I'd be editing that part out.
Exactly. Maybe.
No, I probably wouldn't. I'd probably keep that in.
Yeah.
How have you enjoyed the process for the last year?
It's been terrifying.
Why?
And wonderful, but terrifying. I think that we sort of, Sim and I started this the podcast is as a hobby and
Anna Faris is unqualified.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
By the way, great job getting unqualified.com and unqualified on Twitter.
How did you know about that? Yeah.
Because I know about these things. That's really good.
Did you try to buy it? Were you the one who was
there? Was actually an article, domains.com. I didn't even know that was a thing, but they put out an article that said that Anna Faris has just acquired unqualified.com. This is and they talked about why it's a big deal. It was strange that there was a website reporting on the fact that we acquired a domain.
It is very, very exceptional good. SEO. It is very. It speaks very highly of your brand that it didn't have to be Anna Faris unqualified.tv, you know, or whatever. Like, you actually got unqualified.com. That's a big deal. That is a.
I think it was because some idiotic, like, domain, like, holder namer, you know, those people that buy up the things.
Yeah, the domain holder namers.
We were lucky enough that that we were under the radar enough that. Yeah,
we still
have
to pay for it,
of course.
It wasn't cheap.
Well,
people will give you all sorts of, like, when you're looking for a domain, like if you find a domain that you want and someone has it, you know, like someone's parked a bunch of names and they'll go, well, I don't know, man, I got a lot of interest around this one, I could probably sell for like 80 grand. I'm like, okay. I mean, I've legitimately said, like, you know, if you could do that, you should definitely go do that. And then they'll come back and go, well, how about 40? I'm like,
completely.
What happened to the 80 guy, you know? And then they just sort of, they'll keep coming back. And then eventually.
What have you found? Because we're only, 11 months into this podcast journey. What have you found? What's been, from your perspective, the most rewarding elements? What have you gotten out of it?
For me, it's something that's entirely mine. I take responsibility for all of it, like the good stuff and the things that I fuck up. I take responsibility for all of it. I like that ownership. And it's been an exceptional way to trick people that I respect into having hour-long conversations with me, which has been remarkable. And now that we're almost 500 episodes in.
Wow. I can't believe
congratulations.
Is that 500? We're almost 500. 488 or something?
That's amazing.
That's unbelievable. And you're not bored? Like,
oh, shit. We're at almost 900 episodes.
Wait, what?
Bored or restless? Like, do you ever – did it become a chore? Like,
it only ever – it's only times when someone's coming in and I don't really know them that
like
well.
Me?
No, not at all because I know
– except remember when you showed up at my apartment and I didn't let you in?
Yep,
sorry about that.
This is revenge. It's what was killing me last year is that I was doing, you know, I was working essentially 7 days a week on a few different shows, and then we were posting 3 episodes a week, which meant that I was recording 5 to 7 episodes a week, and like jumping out of rehearsal from this show, coming in, having a conversation with someone that I didn't know very well. And then going back to work, and then after the show, coming back and doing another one. Like, my brain was just it does require. I think I don't know if people really understand, and now that you know, it does require quite a bit of focus to not.
And like, sometimes you know, sometimes people are naturally very interesting, and you can't help but be very curious about them. But then there are also other people that it takes a lot to sort of draw out of. I mean, you just got right out of me, my pussy hair, which is the most fascinating thing about me.
There were lasers involved. I mean, that's amazing. That is amazing. But it has been incredibly – it has been one of the most rewarding things I've ever done, and I imagine that has to be true for you as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that it's especially we – you know, I'm on this wonderful show called Mom.
Oh, yes.
Thanks, Chris Hardwick.
Everyone know. We know. It's a. She was also on too. Allison Janney was also on.
Oh, and she's
just amazing.
I love her so much, but I was feeling the need for like a a very like a creative outlet, and so I thought, well, I'm going to order some microphones off of Amazon, and then Sam, my dear friend, agreed to come on board, and he's actually you've been the powerhouse through the whole thing.
Oh, thank you.
I just sort of
no. That's not true.
Oh, my God. You sound so fake right now. Because you know that it's so fucking true. You've done everything.
You've given me the most amazing opportunity.
All I do is like, show up and talk about myself and my pussy hair.
And you're doing amazing.
So that's every episode. Every episode is...
I pride myself on... God. What a cheap joke. I'm sorry. But no,
you're in the right place for that. You're 100% in the right place. You're among friends. Please.
But no, it's been really, it's been wonderful in the, getting a chance to have a sense of creative control, a sense of liberation, and also getting to know people that I really admire on a different level than I wouldn't, you know, have, you know, normally been able to. And in my weird living room, I really hope I'm not to put you too much on the spot. You can edit this out. But will you please come to my weird living room?
Yes, of course I will come to your weird living room. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and then I'll just be the guest. I would love that.
Dear Diary, Chris Hardwick just agreed to come on my podcast.
I can't believe you brought a diary with you and you're furiously writing in the diary. And what are you writing now?
Also, he's a Scorpio.
So close.
Sagittarian?
Yes.
No way, me too.
No, Sagittarius, me too. Oh, my God, Sagittarius. Oh, the archer.
Whoa. What's
the archer.
What's your birthday?
November 23rd.
I'm November 29th.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yes. We're creative. We're leaders.
Yeah.
Nobody fucks better
than
us.
We're centaurs.
Right?
Centaurs.
Isn't that what you've heard?
Wax. They'd have to wax their whole body.
What have you heard?
A waxed centaur would be
but
weird.
But seriously, what have you heard about our
kind?
Yes.
We're loyal. Adventurous. We take chances. We're horse people. Who are good with a bow and arrow.
True.
I don't know.
Super true.
I just feel like anything you say about anyone's sign, they're going to go, oh my God, that's so me.
When I was in college, I did this. I was really angry in college.
Were you angry at?
The world.
Sure. Fuck. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I went to a huge school and, I lived in the dorms. Anyway, but I would do this thing. And this is how angry I was. I had private jokes with myself. So that's a lonely, angry person.
So you could just walk around and go, and no one would know what you were like snarking about?
Totally.
Yeah.
And I had a deck of cards, and I would, at parties, I would say like, pick a card like to whatever random person, and they would draw like the nine of spades, and I would say, oh, okay, this means that you are really creative, but there's some obstacles that you have in your life and you're not quite sure how to get over them because you're feeling a lot of pressure from a different area. I'm not quite sure if that's your parents or if that's like your professor. And my whole thing, I would say the same thing about every card, and I would giggle internally. Because most people would be like, oh my God, that's right, that's right. It's actually a really ugly thing that I did.
To privately punk other people without ever revealing to them that you secretly loathe their existence?
Yeah, that's a lonely, miserable person.
But it's good in retrospect?
How?
I don't know. But I do think it'd be funny if you just went up to people on the set now and be like,
pick a card, asshole. It's like one of those things that's like, no, it's just gross. It was just, but it is a reflection of who, like the struggle that I was going through at that time.
Did you get over a lot of that?
I think so.
Did performing help you?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Get rid of some of that.
Yeah.
Some of that rage.
You know, turns out all I had to do was move to Hollywood and become a movie star.
So simple, you guys. Step 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Anna Faris is one step.
If you guys need help with your depression or anger.
it's like the Goop or whatever, the Gwyneth Paltrow. Like, if you're having problems in your relationship, just have your second assistant bring you solid gold steaks.
Easy peasy.
Yeah, super easy. Come on, guys, what's the problem? Just have money. I don't understand. Just have more money. What's the problem?
But I think that a lot of creative people came from a place of loneliness, or at least I did.
Well, I 100% agree with that, because I think people who are innately creative, if they weren't, because when you're young, if you have a robust social life,
if you're popular, what's that like?
I don't know. I was never popular, but I think you're forced to be more introspective because you have to tell yourself stories and justify why you don't fit in with everyone else. And I think the people who don't have to do that peak early, and they are never really conditioned to have to be creative because everything is just kind of given to them. And I think creative people, you know, I think it's good. The creativity is sort of a byproduct of having to exist.
Chris, did you go back to your high school reunions?
No, and I went to 3 different high schools because my family moved when I was in high school 3 times, and I did not go to any of them.
You didn't?
Mm-mm.
Do you ever regret that? Or,
I mean, no. Did you go to yours?
I went to my 20th.
You did?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was a solid B minus of the night.
B minus is a pretty good grade.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't awful. But and the relieving thing was, sorry, that it did confirm, and this is a really self-absorbed way of looking at it, but it confirmed what I thought that I was. Like, people confirmed to me my own perception of myself in high school, which was that at the time I was really quiet, I was really short, I wore headgear. And that's what people said back to me, like, oh yeah, I remember, like, you were really quiet, or like, can't believe you, like, you know, whatever, went to Hollywood. I remember you in headgear. And that was oddly very comforting to me. But then I sort of realized, I guess this was what I was looking for out of this night. And I, you know, when people told me sort of some of their stories, but at the same time, there's so much posturing, at least of mine, that I didn't feel like I got a ton of honesty out of a lot of people, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I would imagine your reunion is basically like a Facebook page where you want everyone to see the most elevated version of you, because you need everyone to know, like, hey, I'm okay, I did it. You know, like, everyone would be doing that, I would imagine, at a reunion. I don't know. I didn't go to one.
I think, yeah, it was odd.
I remember you were talking to me about that, and you were talking about how you weren't really hoping for people to come up to you and say, oh my God, congratulations on all your, and you didn't invite Chris on purpose, right? But then you felt really comfortable when Chris came in. I remember, when you told me this, I was really...
Chris did, my husband did come, because the reunion was up in Edmonds, Washington. And it was a really nice night, but I hadn't kept in touch with anybody. But and I had asked Chris to maybe stay behind, so poor Chris is with my sweet parents. Probably watching Law and Order.
The original, old school, Jack McCoy? Okay, good.
There's only one way my parents do it. Yep. God. I love you, Mommy and Daddy. But Chris came to pick me up after a couple hours in, and Guardians of the Galaxy had just come out, and he came sort of walking through, like, the local bar door, and it did feel – I know that this is, like, very exaggerated in my head, but – it did feel like all the heads were swiveling, and I had, like, the lion of, I don't know, the pack, like, swooping through the door and, like, putting his arm around me and being like, ready to go. And I was like, bye, everybody.
I gotta go home with this lion.
Yes.
It is a strange thing. And that kind of, I mean, obviously people knew who you guys were before that, but now that you've been working for a while and you've been in a bunch of really big things, and now he's in this, been a bunch of big stuff. I mean, it's such a strange. Do people treat you guys differently now? Is it weird, or do you feel normal?
I don't feel normal, but I don't know if I ever have. But maybe that's a longer discussion.
Pick a card.
No, it is an odd. It's an odd thing, and I know that you can probably relate to this, the idea that sometimes it feels like it just shouldn't be valued as much as it is. Like, there's a fraudulent feeling about what we do and about fame and about all this stuff. At the same time, it's it can be really addictive. And you find yourself in your ugliest moments being like, why didn't we get that table out of the window? Or, you know, like, and you have to, right? I know, I'm sorry. I shouldn't maybe, I don't know, but.
That's a very human thing, though. I think anyone in that situation would feel the same. But the important thing is being able to catch yourself and go, oh.
Oh, yeah, I'm gross.
Right, that's
yeah,
gross.
Yeah,
be
I'm
that
a
way.
Disgusting person who has vagina hair. You know what? I'm so sorry. That's
if you didn't get
is.
The table, you should just say to the matron, that is because of my pussy hair,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's my pussy hair. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sprinkle all of your fucking salads with my pussy hair. I'm going to pluck them out one by one. Sneak into the kitchen.
It's just in on TMZ.
Yep.
Ferris douses
pubic
hundreds
hair.
Of salads with her own pubic hair.
Who doesn't want
at
that?
At a popular LA eatery. You want this? Oh, God, is this what you want? I don't know what is happening.
It should be a sushi restaurant, too. Like...
Just all
that's when it would really get noticed.
Salad, yep.
Yay, gross.
But it is good to remember that. I don't think there's anything wrong with being human, as long as you know. But I also feel like, doesn't the fact that you have a child now, does that keep you more grounded and be like, oh wait, this is the thing that's really important, not all that other stuff.
Yeah.
That didn't sound real.
Let me do my best acting. No, it does for sure. And you know, I think that Chris and I both grew up in Washington State, and so we have. I mean, what we really want to do, honestly, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you feel like joining us.
Well, please, whatever it is.
Are you sure?
Do
you want to sign?
I don't even know what it is, and already I'm reaching for my pen.
Really?
To sign this contract?
You sort of aren't. Okay, all right, here we go.
Let's see what's in here.
Here we go.
Archery set.
I want to make like an artisan goat cheese up in Washington State. I would like to have a small blueberry farm, maybe some blackberries, maybe some huckleberries.
Yeah.
I build a small amphitheater so I can constantly, I definitely need attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At any given time.
Yeah.
So I'll put on local plays. I'll force my children or child to watch me and or perform. I'm hoping you'll join.
I would love to. This, by the way, sounds like a good idea.
Thank you.
And
right?
You can
not
have
so bad.
You can just have
some
a couple
small
rides
ponies.
There. A merry-go-round. Like a merry-go-round, but instead of ponies with fucking berries.
I love it.
That you could ride berries.
Wait. That doesn't make any sense.
Yes,
I've
it does.
Said a lot of shit that doesn't make any sense tonight.
It really
but that
does.
That is the thing that makes zero sense.
I want you to go into your mind palace, as Sherlock Holmes calls it.
Okay, so children are riding what? Big strawberries? What are they riding?
Well, you said huckleberries.
Huckleberries.
Blackberries.
Yeah, I'm talking farms.
Blueberries.
I'm just talking like
so
bushes.
So imagine a carousel.
Okay, all right.
But
I'm
instead of the ponies,
uh-huh.
It's like a blackberry.
So the children are riding like on a thorny blackberry bush? Or...
You got it. Nailed it. Yep. Sold.
Ow, daddy.
Shut up. There's nothing else to do here. Either pick berries or ride one. I don't give a fuck. You're the reason we divorced. What? Like, it's really awkward.
Chris Hardwick with the money-clenching scheme of the...
Katie, park merry-go-round ASAP. Get.tv, get.gov.
But I'm serious. You're coming with me to the camp and the island, right?
I'm telling you, I understand what you're saying because I watch a lot of HGTV. And you just see like a small town where someone's trying to buy a house. And you're like, what a nice ranch! There's population like 1,000 people there.
Don't you think that HGTV is like the Sesame Street of? It's like there's like the numbing in the best of ways.
Oh yeah.
But like the comforting aspect of like a children's television program.
Well, yes, because basically it is low impact story arcs. you know that no matter what happens, it's probably going to work out for these assholes. And their stupid ideas about getting rid of a bathroom on the ground floor because they want more open space concept. And you just know, like, you know, you just go, which of these three dwellings are these people that I don't care about gonna pick? What's it gonna be? The stone fireplace wall or the one with the beams? What is it?
Not the beams. Not the beams.
No, not the beams.
Oh, God, no.
Ugh. Don't take out that wall. Oh, yay, another distressed farm sign on your wall. Everyone's house looks like Anthropology.
I wish my... In fact, your studio sort of looks...
Well, this is Star Wars wallpaper, which I have not seen in an Anthropology, but I will give you that the papier-mâché hippo head is very much...
It just looks really stylish. I can't wait for you to come over to my place and you will say, this is not stylish. It's a real hodgepodge.
But
you'll see the messiness of my mind
is that,
as soon as you come over. Maybe you've already seen it.
The hodgepodge is all like that's an expression of your brain, the way your brain works.
It's out of lazy. It's a combo of laziness and like lack of vision, you know. Like, right? Sim knows.
Yeah, oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's so tacky. It's like
it's strange. It's weird. There's a lot of things just don't
weird
belong
and not
in certain
in like
places.
A
but
cool hipster way, just weird and like a oh, this person is fucked up.
See, I don't know. I mean, my wife and I live in a design aesthetic I called Victorian gentleman serial killer.
Oh, what does that mean?
It just means it's like our house is like an old natural history museum.
Wait a minute, we have that. We have lots of bugs.
Yeah. Yes.
We've got lots of dead animals.
Taxidermy?
Yes.
Tons.
No way.
Yeah, way. Sagittarius!
Get it! Woo!
Yeah, we have tons of old taxidermy and a bunch of old... And
sorry.
Lydia keeps buying horror props, so we have like gremlins and exorcist dummies and...
I'm coming over to your house and hopefully you'll let me in.
Yeah, I'll let you in. Not like
this
you
time.
Left me out there.
I can't believe it. I can't believe
next
this is your memory of me.
In the morning.
I am so sorry.
Erewhon was closed. I couldn't even pay $30 for a juice shot. There was nothing for me to do.
I am so sorry.
That's all right.
And I really must have been like, come on back. Here's my address.
I
Call
feel like
me.
No one answered the phone. Or maybe did someone answer and just go, I remember we're here for the... What? Like, I don't know. It was like
I'm
one of those
so types. Sorry.
No, I apologize for my behavior at the time.
I probably
sure
had some NyQuil. You're sweet to laugh that hard. That's should I make that into a stand-up routine?
You chasing alcohol with NyQuil sounded very funny.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's not
should
a good
do it
thing
again?
To do. I wouldn't do it.
Should I attempt this as like a stand-up?
No, I mean I wouldn't do it as stand-up, but you could tell the story.
Okay.
You could talk about the
all
story
right. All right, well I'm working on my stand-up routine.
Are you gonna ever do live? Do you like doing live stuff? I mean, like you've done theater before.
I've done theater, but there's always the comfort of hiding behind a character. I don't know. I've never been a stand-up.
As your comfort level grows with your podcast and you're used to being yourself, I feel like that will change.
I get more and more arrogant.
I know everything. Courtney Love.
You did. You listened.
Yes, I know. I know things.
Okay, wait. Tell me what advice can you give us in terms of like what have you learned from tough guests? What have you learned from...
Oh, I have a good one for you.
Okay, great.
I have a good one for you.
Okay, good.
And I'm sure my podcast audience is tired of hearing it, but fuck you guys. This is for Anna and Sim.
Thank you.
So in 2013, I think it was 2013, I've been doing the podcast for a few years, getting kind of cocky. Might be pretty good at this. Doing this for a while. Haven't really hit any rough patches. So then we get Harrison Ford. I'm like, wow, Harrison Ford. This is going to be crazy. And it was not... good. It was kind of disastrous because he's very tricky. He's kind of like a horse in that if he senses fear, he does not. Because it, from his point of view, you should be qualified to be talking to. I mean, it's like he's not wrong. But he just started to tighten up a bit or it was marijuana, I don't know, allegedly. But something happened, and it just started to not go well, and I was just too nervous, and I couldn't pull out of it because I couldn't mash the fandom
down.
Can
I be you, and you could be Harrison?
Sure.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Harrison.
What?
Oh, my God. This is just amazing. Thank you so much for being here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Chris. This is so cool. Like, this is surreal.
Is there a question in the future?
Yeah.
Is this a series of statements?
Yeah. So what I wanted to ask you was, early on, you were, a carpenter but what do you think, like, your most rewarding role has been to date?
This has been my most rewarding role to date.
No way.
Having
was
to pretend
that? Was
like
that
I
aggressive?
Give nine shits about everything that's happening here right now.
Oh, Harrison, you're really funny. Really? Was he
Sometimes
that aggressive?
I just gouge my own fucking eyes out. Sometimes I just want to dig them out with a melon bar.
It wasn't like that. Was it really like that? No.
No, what it was. By the way, your question was way better than anything I said. It was just a lot of me going, do you know how hard it is not to ask you about Indiana Jones and Han Solo? And he's like, try harder. It was a lot of that stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot of that stuff. I think he is amused by people getting uncomfortable around him, and it's kind of entertaining to him. But it was my fault. I don't blame him at all. I totally dropped the ball. But the lesson that I learned from that experience was never be afraid of your guests. And I've never been afraid of someone since.
What about me?
I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of you.
Oh, man. I'm out of here. Fuck you, Chris.
On occasion, I provide my own Foley work. Because Katie wasn't on it. We don't have a soundboard that has all sorts of fun morning show sound effects.
Sim, you told me he was going to be afraid.
By the way, this is so much more low budge than I thought it would be. I'm happy about it. I'm so excited about this. I was expecting like someone like in a booth back there and a few other like engineers. And this, you have the same setup we have. This is amazing.
Sim,
I'm so excited.
Wait a minute.
It's just three microphones and a runaway girl that I picked up near the Target at the West Hollywood Gateway who brought her dog because they don't have a home. All right? They don't have a home. Fuck you, man.
I like this slamming.
I know. I'm sorry. Louder is always funnier. That's what I say. Louder is always funnier.
That's pretty good, right?
It's pretty good. Oh, you came back in.
For a woman.
After you what?
Oh, yeah. It's weird that you guys laugh oddly hard at that.
No, that can be misinterpreted.
For sure, I am funny.
No, I know that can be misinterpreted, but that was not, yeah.
No, it was funny.
It was very funny. When did you realize you were funny, though? Because you said if you were kind of a shut-in in high school.
She never thought she was funny. Or her roommate said you weren't funny. Wait, what was that story you told me once about your roommate?
Yeah, my college roommate told me.
After you got Scary Movie.
Well, all college roommates are horrible.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But I like this woman a lot. She's my only friend. I have no friends. But she did tell me after I got Scary Movie, I called her and I said, Claire, I got this comedy. It's a spoof movie. I don't know what I'm doing. And she said, oh my God, Anna, you are not funny. And I said, I know. And I really didn't like I told you, I didn't take it as an insult. It was just like, yeah, I'm fucking stuck. What the fuck do I do? I'm going to get fired.
And then that movie was huge. And then it just a string of... But I know you did dramatic stuff, too.
Barely. I sort of did, like, some comedic... Well, I did... Whatever. Do you want to... Should we talk about Heidi, my lead role in the musical Heidi at the Issaquah Village Theater? Or let's talk about Scout, To Kill a Mockingbird, also at the Issaquah Village Theater.
Or that laugh out loud comedy Brokeback Mountain.
Oh. I was a part of like a couple of those dramatic things, but I was also a comedic relief in those things. But comedy has given me a lot of many gifts in a way that I did not anticipate. And I feel really grateful for that. And ask why, if you don't mind at this point.
Anna, why?
Well, I'll tell you, Chris. Thank you for asking. actually, but truly though, the ability to sort of laugh at myself a little bit more on a personal level, and also in the challenge of it, is it's pretty, you know, making people laugh is incredibly difficult. And I feel, yeah, I don't know, grateful that Hollywood sort of, that it's been my journey.
Are you real serious in regular life?
What do you think?
I don't know. You're hurting me. Ow. Anna, let me go. Ow. I bruise.
Are
easily.
You real serious, Chris?
I don't know.
Let's flip the tables.
I feel like I am serious, and I feel like I'm super boring.
No.
Yeah, in real no. life, I feel like I'm super boring.
So that is the key, though, to an interesting person, I think. Mm. Somebody who thinks that they're, who's, if you suspect that you're boring, that means you're interesting.
I get the rule of opposites that you're throwing down, and I appreciate it, but I really do feel like I'm kind of a boring.
Fuck, no, you have a fucking hick. Podcast,
yeah.
You've like won Emmys. You're fucking king of the castle.
I don't know
of I'm... interest.
Ah, castle interest. It's so good to be entering through the side of the castle because that's more interesting than the front of the castle. I'm not.
Ooh, could I be your daughter at the king? Like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can be my daughter.
Hey, Dad.
What?
Daddy.
What?
Where do I go potty again?
In the duck pond. This is castle interesting. There's
the
a
moat.
Duck pond inside.
I'm not going in the moat, Daddy.
And freeze. Okay, now. And I feel like we're just freezing.
Really? Did the moat stop anybody?
A lot of alligators got in. I don't know. Other than that, I don't think most people. I mean, if you're a knight and you're in full armor, Could you wade across a moat without having hot oil dumped on you? Or?
Sim could. Easy
probably,
peasy for him.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I can wade. I'm a good wader.
Play that's on your resume of like special yes. skills. English, Australian accents, wading, moat mastery.
But maybe you is that what they used to do is like fill the moat with sewage?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't know if they filled it with sewage. I thought they just filled it with like... alligators and, you know...
We are talking about, like, you know, the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
Back in the
yeah.
day, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Alligators?
They just got them on Amazon. Yeah. From the actual Amazon.
They shipped them over mm-hmm. before...
Yep. Yeah, that's where they sent all those boats
sure
out.
He sure knows a lot.
They sent all those boats out to conquer countries and to bring alligators back for their murder moats.
But wasn't it really just sort of a harvesting ground, like ground for like sewage and like stuff, so people couldn't?
Oh yeah, it was probably super gross and super dirty. And whenever I watch, you know, it's like when I watch time travel stuff, and these people go back in time, like first of all, you would spend the first hour throwing up from the odors that are not indigenous to your time, because everyone is filthy by comparison.
Chris, if you were a no. You probably have answered this a gazillion times, but if you were to go back in time or to be a time traveler, where would you go?
Well, that's a really interesting question, Anna. I've spent much time thinking about it. Where would I go? I'd probably... First of all, I'd go back to the UK in the 1960s. Like right...
Oh, all right.
Right when... You know, it's like...
A lot of free
like,
love?
Yeah, like that...
Austin Powers time?
Yes, 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 yes. Yeah, a lot of creativity, a lot of music, a lot of great, you know, a lot of great television. Like, the UK just seemed like an amazing place in the 60s. Then I would... Where else would I go? I don't know. Roman Empire? I feel like I want to go back to the Roman Empire. See what their deal was. Then maybe...
Yeah, all right.
Maybe go back?
Sure, yeah.
I don't know. Where would you go?
Well, I gotta tell you, as a woman, it's really hard to sort of relate to a better time.
Probably not.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying.
Right.
Like, you know what? I'd actually like to jump 50 years into the future.
You would?
Yeah.
Just
when we've eliminated your gender.
Listen, that's way better than what it feels like is going to happen, which is that we're just going to become Fury Road. I think I'm fine with that. First of all, I'm not going to live 50 more years anyway, so it doesn't matter to me. I say fuck it, eliminate.
Well, you won't get the pill.
What pill?
You know, the everlasting pill.
which
women only apply.
Hello, I am a lady. I'm here to get this pill. My name is Cassandra.
Can we see your gender card, please?
It's tucked in here in my vulva.
In your vulva?
Mm-hmm. Just a little coin purse I keep between my legs.
All right, but we're going to need to see it. Like,
oh, it's there.
Wait, where's your labia again?
It's down under near my balls. I mean, my labia minora, which burned for 8 days.
When Katie?
Take
him to the pit.
No! Just a bunch of dudes in drag down there. No!
Sorry.
That's all right. But at least I know now how to be prepared for when that happens. I know what your line of questioning is going to be. So...
Well, yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to mix it up later on.
I appreciate that.
No, don't appreciate it. I'm going to try to, like, trap you, so...
Is there anyone, and you don't have to say who,
yeah,
is there anyone that you've had on your podcast where you were super excited to have them on, and afterwards you were like, oh, I'm not so great?
Yes.
But you don't have to say who.
Yes, but actually, for the most part, people have been pretty incredible. And I think part of it is, you know, I think the acceptance of, like, coming over to my house and agreeing to do it is so I think that most of our guests already have the feeling of, like, all right, we're in for whatever this weird adventure. And then I think that I try to, like, beat up on Sim enough so then people feel comfortable.
They feel comfortable. Once she sees that she can attack me and it's okay to attack
but
me.
But it has... Yeah. Sorry, Sim. No. I didn't mean to cut you off. No, but I...
It's just like that. It's just like that.
Just like that. Exactly.
He
like
tries
that.
To express his right. true self and you're like, shut up. I'm not talking. Yeah, right. How did you guys become friends?
We met at a bar through mutual friends. My background is film production. I used to be a movie producer for a while before this turned into this wild ride. We met at a bar like 16 years ago. We've never worked together, but we've always stayed friends.
Do you remember Lake Colonial?
Oh, yeah, right next to the Sofitel. No.
It was on Melrose and Robertson, right next to the Starbucks back in like 2000.
Oh, yeah, right. Right.
A Vietnamese restaurant. Then upstairs, it was like a lounge, like a hot bar.
I don't think I ever went in there. But I know I knew it.
You could have met us.
Well, it's cool enough to go. Didn't have that like blue neon lettering that said La Colonia.
Right. Yes, you're right.
I always drove by there and I thought, what a fancy ass place. I'm not fancy enough to go in there.
Yeah, but we used to hang out there all the time. That was our spot for like a year.
Yeah, we had a big group of friends and Sim and I became friends. We've seen each other through like multiple relationships.
Divorces.
We talk about this a lot on the podcast, how we're like a heterosexual friendship that has lasted and how kind of odd that is. Because you know how the whole thing of like, can men and women be friends?
I saw When Harry Met Sally.
And what'd you think?
The great movie still holds
I up. Thought so too.
So good. I'll have what she's having. An orgasm in a deli.
No, but we talk a lot about this because it does feel rare that we've been able to be, and we think that we've seen so many of each other's flaws.
That's probably what it is. Maybe. But we just get along. We just really get along. You make
really
me laugh
along.
So hard. You're the funniest person I know.
Thanks,
and it's just a real treat to be able to do this with her. Seriously. To be able to work with one of your best friends, there's
That's
nothing better.
So nice.
I wish I knew what that felt like.
How long have you two been together as working
Katie
partners?
Katie used to work for Corolla.
Okay.
And then just kind of, I guess, you know, wanted a bit of a change. And so Adam called me and he was like, you should talk to my friend Katie. She works for me.
That was good.
Oh, thanks. And I was like, okay. Because I was just kind of starting to do podcast stuff then. And for the first year, I mean, I did it myself. And I began to not enjoy that. And so we met and Katie came on board and so she produces like everything for us now.
Do you have female friends outside of your
Oh, absolutely.
Wife?
A lot of my friends are female. One of my best friends in the world, April Richardson, is one of my favorite people in the world. And she's tours with me and I adore her, yeah.
But don't you ever feel like this is not that it's odd necessarily, but that it's an oddity, like that a lot of it feels unusual.
I feel like I don't mean this to sound as arrogant as it's going to sound, but I feel like if you're a grown up, like it's not weird,
right?
Because you can appreciate someone on a human level regardless of their gender, and she legit, it's like you said, April makes me laugh so hard. Right. And I don't know.
We're I mean, you know somebody for so long. Like,
yeah.
Like now, if we had just met now.
It would be different.
It'd just be different because we wouldn't trust each other.
Exactly.
Or whatever, but.
No.
I mean, but I'm also, you know, I'm not 22 anymore. So it doesn't, maybe that
you don't want to bone anymore.
I mean, I'm done. I get it. Okay. I get it.
What do you think? Like, yeah. What are the worst adjectives, like verbs or what, like for having sex, because I really do love saying boning. Boning might be the best. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty good because it. But
look at Sim trying to think. He's like, please shut up, Anna.
No.
You know what though? That is referring to sexual encounter as that does put a male spin on it though.
For sure.
Yeah.
But all of it does.
Maybe we should call it
blowjob.
Gining.
Fucking, boning.
Gining.
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 Yeah, I'm totally going to gine this guy.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to gine this
guy. We gined. We totally gined.
Wait.
Yeah. I like it.
What if it's like, I'm going to cave him?
We totally caved.
Yeah, I'm going to cave this dude.
Yeah, cave the shit out of this
fucking
dude.
Fucking cave him.
We caved. Did you bone? Uh-uh.
Caved. I'm going to cave him.
Caved. Yeah, I like that. I always tend to think clinical terms are funnier. So it's like, let's have intercourse. Like that to me always sounds funny.
It is funny, yeah.
So funny. And my wife is very understanding.
When she says.
Well, now I'm going to tell her to use gine. As a verb or cave.
I'm going to cave that dude.
That does sound like you're going to consume all of him, though. Okay, great, great. Okay, as long as we're on the same page.
Might be a big, big old cavern. You don't know, do you, Chris?
I don't know. But I think we should start spreading that. Nah, that's a bad term. I think we should start disseminating that into the popular vernacular of our
cave?
Time. Cave and gine.
Cave and Jine.
Cave and Jine.
So we can start this right now?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Because, you know, boning is really, I mean.
It's over.
Fun
it's
term,
but what would
you had your time.
What would
you
guys
run,
actually
boning.
Say? You guys wouldn't say that. Like, if you're talking about, like, a girl.
I would be respectful and say I slept with her.
Oh, fuck you.
I would say I had sex.
Yeah.
No, you guys are trying to get laid with a girl, like a few girls that are at the bar.
Sure.
You're single.
Yeah.
Like, what would you say? Like, oh, dude, I want to, like, tap that tonight or what?
No, here's the thing. I don't have a strong guy vernacular. And when guys start talking like that, I immediately
Me too.
Shut
I shut
down.
Off. Me too.
Because I don't
I'm the same
know,
way.
I mean, I was primarily raised by my mom, and so I just don't, you know. And it was my later years I developed a close relationship with my dad. I mean, he was around for the early part of my life, but then... But I was primarily raised by my mom, and so I just feel weird. Like, anything that's, like, tap, hit, like, it's just, I would never, and I'm not just saying this because there's a microphone here, I don't talk that way. I would say I had sex with someone, or I hooked up with someone, or we made out, or, like, you know, because I'm on happy days. but I would never just say, like, I would never say I boned this chick. Like, even saying that makes
Chris,
my fucking
skin Chris Hardwick. Grow.
What?
Hey, what's up? I'm so glad you came out to meet me tonight.
Oh.
Thanks so much.
Sure.
Hey, see that cute little redhead over there?
Mm-hmm.
I really want to tap that shit.
What? You're going to gine that? You're totally going to gine that. I don't know. I honestly don't know what to say. Or when guys... I remember one time I went to play golf with my stepfather and some of his buddies. And they were throwing around the term like... getting pussy, and I had a visceral reaction,
but why?
Because it just feels it just feels so like ugh. And I had nothing to contribute, and I just I couldn't say anything.
Wait, I gotta know, like, what do you mean? Like, so, like, I gotta get that pussy?
Yes,
like,
yes.
I'm looking forward to getting that pussy.
Getting that.
Or, like, oh, look at that, like, beer cart handler or whatever. You guys are playing golf, right? I want to engage with that pussy. Like,
engage with that pussy is so formal. That's like a part of a Geneva, like the G20 summit. We're going to engage with the pussy. But, you know, like my friend Jonah
Launch.
Ray.
Launch. Engagement.
My friend Jonah Ray always launches into a, oh yeah, we're going to get all the pussies. We're going to get all the pussies. And so, like, pluralizing it makes it funny, and it's sort of a way to ridicule
it's
that.
It's all funny. Yeah. That pussy is really, it's funny.
I think pussy is a great word.
It's a wonderful word.
I think it's
word.
A wonderful word. But I just think, but using it that way really upset, it really upsets me. And I don't know if it's being raised by my mom or what it is, but it just I don't connect well with, like, dude bros. I don't connect well with them.
I just gotta know, like, because you know what it is, though. I think, Chris, is that I think it's that it comes from a lack of creativity with the genesis of, like, some of the people you were talking about using a word like that, a pussy, which is something I love, especially when it's used creatively,
right?
Or at least in, like, a funny term,
right?
At least in a place where I can own it or whatever. But when people use it uncreatively in an obvious way, then it feels like, man.
Well, it's
like
really,
you
it's...
just like you totally I expected this from you, and you delivered.
But I think that it's, you know, people will say and do things to form an immediate support structure to make themselves feel better. And unfortunately, sometimes that is to demean. There's like a bully thing of like, we're, you know, so it is a power play. It's a douchey power play. But yeah, my friends and I just don't talk that way. In fact, April talks more that way than I do. I mean, I remember when I was, you know, before I met my current wife, I was in between relationships, and I was, you know, I was just being all sad and weepy and all Radiohead about it. And she was like, "Yo, you just you just need to get your D wet." And I'm like, "April."
But what a wonderful relief, though, right?
It
must have felt like, oh my God, this is a person I love, because.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, yeah, but we were already really good friends at that point. But it's, you know, it's funny to hear her talk that way, because that's really how she talks. It's not put on.
Did you feel like having female friends and being close with your wife has, as you're getting, you know, as you mature,
getting older?
Yes, but has shifted your perception of women completely, or how do you feel? Because Sim is, we've talked a lot about this.
No, I mean, since working
Sim was a total dick before.
I was not.
No, you weren't. You were very nice.
No, I just feel like I would much rather. I prefer working with women now.
What the fuck can I do?
I know.
My mom was just very.
I was about to give you a compliment, by the way.
My mom was just very much, like, she was very much about being respectful, and you could not. She did not allow people to talk down to her. And so and she still, you know. And she doesn't let people treat her like shit. And I don't know. She just taught me to be respectful of people. I don't know. It just feels mm-hmm. weird.
It does feel weird. You're totally right.
It feels weird. And I'm sure when I was in college, I probably went through a period where I was posturing and I tried
to
do that stuff. And it didn't feel right. And, you know, and then I had to mask it all with booze, and because I wasn't being who I am.
Were
you
this guy? What's up, girl?
Never. I was never what's up, girl.
I know.
Girl
I didn't
guy.
Think
I was
you were.
Never what's up, girl. You know, I'll tell you what the type of guy I was. I was the guy who brought a juggling bag to school because I thought people would think it was cool.
Hey, Jen. Hey, guess what? The juggling guy's here.
Look at all the pussy.
Oh my gosh, you're not going to even believe it. He's so good.
Sploosh.
Oh my gosh. Chris, juggle. Oh my God, juggle. Jen, you're not going to even believe it.
Yeah, I was that guy. Or I was a guy who, because comedy was so much a part of my language, And I assumed, like, well, everyone knows every stand-up special, you know, so, like, try to communicate with people through comedy, but which in high school, you know, kids are just more, it's just so much posturing, you know. Yeah, I always tried to be cool, fit in for, like, a month, and then I just devolved back into...
That's a thing, though, like, moving, right? That is why you're here, right? Like,
maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, the having to reinvent yourself, like, and...
Yeah, I don't know. I just, you know, I feel like I don't understand that point of view, and I guess maybe it's – and I grew up in the South too, which was very – I was very counterculture for the immediate culture that I was around. Not to be disparaging against Tennessee, but there was a lot – there's a lot of like good old boys and a lot of old boy, come
Dear
on.
Dear Diary, once again – Chris Hardwick is insulting a quarter of a country. Never mind. No, I'm not saying anything.
What were you writing in your diary?
Nothing.
I mean, your mouth wasn't moving, but I heard your voice as you were writing.
I love being here
crazy.
So much. Go on.
Okay.
What else were you saying? Well, juggling and whatnot.
I can't believe you bring this giant tome around with you.
I'm not doing anything.
Well, you're writing.
I'm sorry. I know how to write.
Look, okay. I'm not.
I'm
okay.
Sorry. I'm taking notes on like.
I wish you didn't know how to write, Anna. I just wish you didn't know.
Yeah. Turns out I was an English major.
Fuck.
University of Washington.
Shit. Oh my God!
Husky State School, fuck you.
Oh, were you an English major? Were you a lit major? That's fun.
Oh God,
that's fun.
Well, if only it was. Yes, yeah.
Are you using your degree?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I've been using.
You gonna make your kid go to school, college, or are you gonna be like,
don't? What do you think? Should I?
I feel like we're in this age of like, you don't need to go to college.
It doesn't really matter anymore, right?
Yeah, I think it was interesting for a sort of lukewarm, a tepid version of reality. It's like you have some responsibilities, but not all the responsibilities. Because, you know, you like homework is not the worst thing that you will ever have to experience, you know?
And in this town, like, does anyone care about
I don't think anyone cares about where you went to school.
No. No one has ever asked me. Like, it's never.
I kind of wish I had started working 4 years earlier,
me too.
To be honest.
Me too. I would have been hotter. My tits would have been perkier. Fuck.
Mine too.
Thanks, Mom and Dad.
Oh, my balls would have been
school.
Amazing. Just
yeah,
perfect.
Chris's balls would have been tight.
Like a clutch purse.
Fuck.
Damn it. All the good ball years gone.
Think of all the money we could have made, Mom and Dad. Thank you very much. I'm so glad you sent me to school.
Seconded here, honest Mom and Dad. I love you, Mom. I love you, my mom.
I love you too, Mom and Dad. And I also love you, Chris's Mom and Dad.
Are they listening to the podcast?
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Do they listen to your podcast?
No, I've told them not to. Do you know? They can't listen to it. I talk up. Like my vagina all the time. I can't listen to it.
But do you think there's a part of your mom that would secretly be like, no, Sim saying no. They pretty straight laced.
Yeah. I mean, I know that, you know, I know that she's proud. Like when I got Scary Movie and Scary Movie came out, she was so embarrassed that she didn't tell any family members. And eventually, like 4 or 5 years later, she sort of came around and was, you know, and she's been very proud of like my career since then or whatever. But yeah, she's even though she's very politically liberal, she's very conservative with all that stuff and embarrassed.
Are they
when I talk
is your family
about,
religious?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's the odd thing. Is that you would think they would be with how conservative they are with their verbiage.
Right.
But verbiage?
It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the English major. University of Washington, though, state school. Nobody knows if that's a real word.
I majored in lit, I minored in verbiage, y'all. So you grew up in Washington State.
Yeah.
I like Washington.
You do?
I do.
Come visit us.
Okay. Well, you're going to open a berry farm with a theater.
I know. Where were you? Where have you been up there?
Well, I've been to, obviously I've been to Seattle a bunch, been to Spokane,
For
just those two places.
Okay.
I've driven through Washington State.
I love it when you drive through.
just plowed right through that.
I love it when you use that hand gesture too.
Yeah, just plowed right through that shit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Plow through my hometown state. Oh
you
yeah.
You could pretty much do anything that way, and I think people would listen to it.
Take the I-5. And then maybe take
I'm going to take the I-5. Oh, I'm fucking taking the I-5. I'm going to take it all the way. Oh, Grapevine. Here comes the Grapevine.
Right through the Cascade Mountain. And then through the Pacific Crest Pass. Oh, yeah. I hope it's not snow blocked.
She's got to plow through all that snow.
Wait. You have to do that better.
What?
You just have to plow through that snow. You have to do it better.
So okay, just a curiosity.
You have to do porny.
Am I a dude in this porn or am I a lady in this porn?
You have to say like I'm just gonna plow.
I'm gonna fucking plow through that shit. I'm gonna plow through that snow.
That's good. Yeah, that's pretty good. But maybe elongate it a little.
Yo, baby, can I take these chains off my tires? I just can't really feel the snow.
Oh, what if you freeze out there?
That means I'm super hard. Oh. I'm so hard. I'm frozen solid.
Oh, yeah, baby. I'm sorry I ever doubted you. Please put the chains on the tire.
I feel like that could just be an hour-long podcast, just that.
Just, like, boring tire change.
Yeah, just reading directions to people.
Honey, where are the keys? Because I don't it's getting cold in here, and you didn't leave the heat on. I want to turn on NPR.
Now I feel like...
Why?
Oh, I want to listen to the book chat. Oh, so good.
When are you going to be done changing the tires?
Now, I feel like we've gone from...
I know, I'm so sorry.
I feel like it's just pooping now.
I know. Do your listeners are going to hate me.
No, they're not.
Well, that's exactly what I wanted you to say.
What if I was like, yeah, but fuck them.
Well, you know, either way.
Hey, that's a good question. Is it... how do you take comments about your show? Like, do people, I would imagine most people are very nice, and then are some people like.
For the most
part,
they're really nice. We've been getting some great comments.
What the fuck would you do that thing for?
Yes.
Oh, that really hurt my feelings. Guess I can't be honest.
Can't please everyone. That's what we're figuring out now. We can't please everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not enough giant to go around, you guys. You can't please everybody.
What did you do? What advice can you give us?
Can I cry? No, sometimes it, well, you know what it is? It's I feel like I work hard to do it because, you know, there's things are busy and I do it because I love it. And so of almost anything else that I do, I think I take it the hardest because it is the most, I don't know, it's the most me that I am on anything. So I feel, I actually feel personally attacked.
Yes.
Or when people go, hey, it was dumb that you did X, Y, or Z.
Right.
And I go, but you weren't in the room. And so there is a whole layer of information that you don't have. Like when you get really good at reading when people are going to stop talking or when they're uncomfortable or you read their body language or it's like, oh, I can push this way, but now I got to pull back a little bit. So when people go, fucking you suck because you didn't do this. It's like, well, there might have been a reason because I could tell the person was uncomfortable and I didn't want to. So I do actually take it. I do take podcast criticism the most personally of anything.
It's terrifying. I mean,
so you should take it seriously too and just feel bad all the time about every negative everything, I guess, is the advice that I would give. But, you know, but it sort of pokes at the insecurities that we all have about.
No, but I hear what you're saying, like, because it is the most vulnerable in a way that I've ever been, which has been incredibly rewarding because it's been very liberating and it feels like sort of this weird creative forum that, you know, it feels there's a little bit of like a Wild West feeling about the whole podcast world in general. But yeah, but any criticism is it hits harder because it's ours.
We discussed this and Anna and I have always maintained that we're just going to do the show that we want to do because we're not answering to anyone.
No,
and
you should just do it as long as it's fun.
That's the beauty of podcasting because you get to do whatever you want to do. And we never set out to become a huge podcast or anything or of that sort. We just wanted to have a good time, help people with calls and just do the show that we wanted to do. And if we do get criticism, we just got, I mean, I think we're doing our best to kind of brush it off and like, okay, we're just going to continue doing our thing.
But it's hard.
It is tough.
Well, there's nothing, I don't, criticism doesn't bother me as long, I think some people, most people are very unaware of how they come off. So someone will go, it fucking sucks that, you know, that. And you go, hey, you don't have to say that way. Oh, I'm not allowed to express my opinion. Like, yeah, you can.
You can.
You can express your opinion, but you don't have to be rude about it. You know, like,
right.
You know, that's not a way to start a conversation if you really have a legitimate criticism. Oh, maybe start with a question. Hey, how come this happened? Was there something strange and why did this happen this way? Oh, well, yeah, I totally know what you mean. I was nervous or this happened or this happened. But, you know, just like jamming your face. The problem is sometimes people will come at you. It's like they're angry at you because you didn't make a thing exactly the way they wanted it. And we're very accustomed to getting things because of algorithms exactly the way that we want them. And when we don't, we kind of can't deal with it. But it's when people treat you like something they didn't like about you is your fault. It's your fucking problem. Yeah. It's like, well, it's not. This is optional and you don't have to like it. You totally don't have to like it, but you don't have to be rude.
And like the idea of though being heard, you know, people want to be heard.
Yes.
And I want to be heard, so I can't fault them for that.
Do you feel heard?
No.
Now that you're 58 episodes in?
Something like that. 58?
I thought you were going to say 58 years old.
Class of 84. Callback. Callback.
But yeah, but you know, I mean, people want to be heard. And I don't blame them for that. But I do think that it's just not something that I would do necessarily. I would never sort of like put in like a negative feedback towards something. I don't have a, you know.
But like if I didn't like Game of Thrones anymore, I probably wouldn't tweet at Game of Thrones and go, I'm not watching you anymore, Game of Thrones. I probably just wouldn't watch
you
anymore.
Would,
but that's just
like,
me.
Write Emilia Clarke like a hate letter.
I know you don't write this, but fuck you. And your dragons. Fuck your dragons.
More tits.
Do the dragons have a Twitter account? Because I'm going to fucking yell at the dragons. I'm behind on Game of Thrones, by the way. I hope she still has dragons. She does? Spoiler alert, Deb. Yeah. God. Unfollow, Deb. Deb books the podcast. She's great. She books all our guests.
Thank you for happiness being here, Deb.
So when am I coming on your show?
When do you want to come? Anytime
you
want.
When do you
want
to come?
You're so busy. You have how many things do you have going on?
I do want to come. Yeah, there's a few.
I know.
But I can come on before. I come on before Christmas.
You would?
Let's do it.
Of course. I sense that we probably.
Katie Kerr came on our podcast, by the way.
That's all. Yeah, yeah. That's right. She's your last episode.
Yeah.
What if we got you like a giant turkey leg that you could eat?
Like the Renaissance Fair?
Yeah.
Well. Could it be like a like white meat?
Oh, that's right. You don't eat meat.
I do eat meat. I just don't like dark. Dark meat's too gamey for me. I mean, I could, you know, I would do it for you. I would do it for you.
Okay.
I would do it for you. So I'm going to eat a turkey leg, which, by the way, people love listening to people eat on a podcast. I don't know if you're aware of that. We found that out episode 10.
Oh, my God.
10.
There's going to be like 6 solid minutes of silence except for you.
Chewing.
Chris Hardwick. Eating
a sloppy, greasy turkey leg.
A huge turkey leg.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's going to be so awesome.
So we're doing it.
We're going to do it. I'll eat a turkey leg on your podcast. Do you want to talk about anything else when I come on, or do you just want to eat a turkey leg?
Nope. I just want to hear, I'll give you a napkin every once in a while.
Yeah, take it, turkey. This is how you used to walk. Now I'm going to turn you into poop. Like, should I talk at it, or just... Like
No. I just want to hear like chomping, some like licking. Like,
there's darkness.
I know.
There's darkness.
I know. I don't know where I came. I don't know. No. Oh.
It's not bad though.
Really?
Well, that's where the creativity comes from. The creativity comes from darkness because, you know, especially comedy is just a defense mechanism to.
Oh, I see. You're my therapist.
Yes. How have you been feeling since we last never spoke?
Can I be honest?
Sure. I can Facebook stream this, right?
Doctor, I thought that... Wait, yeah, that's cool.
Okay, great. Let me just set this up. Keep talking.
Yeah, I guess...
And we're live.
Something my dad said to me
Well, you're getting a lot of hearts.
Yesterday. What?
You're getting a lot of hearts and faves. Facebook. Keep going. What'd your dad say?
Yesterday he said that if I didn't start applying myself, that I was basically a loser in...
Emily McKendrick wants to know, why did you cut your hair weird? I'm sorry. What was that thing about your dad?
That's funny. That's like the social media therapist.
Yeah, exactly. You're just putting everything on social media. Oh, the stream went down. Could you do that thing again about your dad? Could you tell that again? Let me just get this up and running. The network in here is terrible. I'm sorry. It's just terrible. Anyway, be sure to tag Anna Ferris, therapist.
Thanks.
Anna. I said Anna. Everyone calls you Anna, I'm sure.
You know, it's my parents'
Anna,
fault.
Anna.
Anna. My parents' fault. I love
Anna, who are you wearing? No one, because my name is Anna, you fucking prick.
I wish that I could correct people. I can't. Because it truly is my parents' fault.
Anna, Chris. Anna and Chris.
Yeah.
I just called your
but
husband.
But wait, I know. But do you think, what do you think sounds, I mean, because my name is, I'm named after my great-grandmother, Anna, from Germany, blah, blah, blah. But I just think that Anna sometimes sounds a little bit softer than Anna. I like Anna.
Anna's more, Anna's is more regal and it's more mysterious. Because here's what I'm sure happens a lot. Hey, Anna, it's Anna. Anna, oh, where's that from?
Well, yes, from but I Germany. Never correct anybody because it feels so obnoxious. How could I do that?
But it's your name.
Yeah, but I know, but my parents did that to me. They spelled it like Anna. I need to accept the consequences. That
So they should have spelled it A-H-N-A, Anna.
They should have just named me fucking Jane. I love them, but I will always hold this against them.
And therein lies the root of the problem. You've made a lot of progress in this
Thank
session.
You so much,
You're mad
doctor.
At your parents for their for your name, and that's a good place to
hey,
start.
Doctor?
Favorite us on Twitter. And
Doctor, yes. Wait, one last question. Hmm. I was thinking about getting my pussy lasered. Do you think I should? Or?
Well.
Is that
science.
What like, the guys want now?
Yeah. You know, guys are, it's 50-50 right now with the online poll. It's 50-50. but we're going to keep taking votes. And whatever you say, whatever the internet says is what Anna's going to do.
Hey, Doc, why do you speak into a microphone when you give therapy?
I have a confession to make. I'm not really a doctor. I'm just a dude, and I'm just in this for all the pussy.
Oh
Every
my God.
Bit of pussy.
Yay!
First rule of improv, don't deny. I denied. I denied. I was not able to take the scene forward.
I will never, ever, ever.
What?
Say never.
All right, good. When do you drop new podcast episodes onto the internet?
Tuesdays. I like that term, drop. Sim, will you record that? I mean, just like note that. So
yeah,
we
yeah.
Can
I'm going
to
start using drop all
like
the time
drop.
Now. Yes.
Thank you.
We're going to drop some new talk beats for your ear holes on Tuesday.
Tuesday and sometimes on Wednesday we do two-parters. Like when you come on, we'll do a two-parter because I'm sure we're going to be on for a while with you.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Fucking marathon. Just like a 9-hour. I won't leave.
We don't want you.
I'm going to go through.
Not
we
only
want
will
you, to
you
yeah.
not
go
leave,
ahead. Tell him.
But unfortunately,
hope you got a lot of turkey legs.
You won't be able to leave.
I hope you have a lot.
What are you going to What are you going to do to him?
You know what I'm going to do to him.
I won't be able to leave because the turkey legs, because of the I almost said Rohypnol, the tryptophan. Maybe you'll put Rohypnol in there as well. I don't know. I don't know what you put
sure
in your
don't.
Turkey legs.
You sure don't.
But I'll play.
Come
I'll play.
On over. Come
I will.
On over. Come on over.
What is there anything else you want to promote? Do you want to promote?
No.
Okay.
Mom. Yeah, Mom's coming back on October 27th. I love the show that I do, and I love Alice and Janney, and it's actually going to be a really great season. I'm really excited for it. Our ridiculous podcast, Anna Ferris is Unqualified. Thank you so much, Chris.
I think it's pronounced Anna.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Fuck. Anna Ferris is Unqualified. Thank you so much, Crass Hardwick.
I am Tress. Thank you, Sime.
This has been so wonderful. Yeah, thank you for opening up our podcast eyes.
Please. I honestly, if you have any podcast questions, we can close. I can give you any other questions you have about.
You're a legend. You do realize that. You're a podcast legend.
No, I've just been doing it a long time. I just won't stop. But 800 and some episodes.
It's unbelievable.
If there's any other episode.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I said that so you'd say that. If there's any other thing I could tell you. So I told you, like, never be afraid of someone. And I think that's all I told you.
What do you do when someone cancels last minute and you have to record something?
You put them on your list of people that you will crush someday. Or you just have to be flexible is the other thing.
Gotcha.
You just have to be flexible. That doesn't happen very often. We're pretty fortunate that way.
Because you're brilliant.
No, I think what happens is we are in this place now where we're on a lot of like press schedules. Mm-hmm. And so those schedules are really... Yeah, they're very tight, and so people—it's just part of their press day.
Yeah,
will you say tight again?
Super tight. Their schedules are so tight.
Tight,
like so tight. You get like two fingers in their schedule. It's like super tight. It's like two of them. I don't know who this character is, but I hate it.
One of the first guys I dated had a super, super, super tight taint.
How is a taint tight? So the distance between the base of his balls and his butthole was like...
So tight.
Oh, my God. He must have been... he was a medical anomaly. I mean, that sounds terrible. How did he not shit on his balls
so
all the time?
Awesome. The tightest taint in the world.
That's not a brag.
Oh my God, I'm immediately apologizing for that. No, if you,
I know this
if you
is
saw
weird.
It was so hot.
No, it would not be at
no,
all.
No, but once you've seen like the tightest taint in the world.
No, it would just be like.
It is. It like.
I feel like
sort of a game changer.
If you had that as a joke, you'd have to. I feel like as a joke to someone, you'd have to pull your balls away from your butt as you said, Lazarus, come out. Like, I feel like that'd be the only thing you could do with that.
He was not into Shakespeare, though. Like,
okay.
He just had this
super tight taint.
Tight taint.
Super tight taint.
Wait, maybe that should be the name of our band.
Super tight taint?
Or just tight taint.
Okay.
Tight taintium?
Titanium?
Titanium?
Still taking it. It's sort of taken away from my ex.
Super tight taint.
Super. No, just tight taint.
Tight taint.
I'm sorry. I'm such a dictator.
No. Hey, it's your band. I don't even know why I got a vote on this, to be honest. I mean,
what instrument do you want to play?
Melodica.
Fuck you. I mean, of course nobody knows what that fuck
yes,
that
they
is.
Do.
Nobody knows what it is.
They
what is that?
They know what a melodica is.
Do you know what it is?
It's like a harmonica type thing?
No.
No, I have no idea then.
It's like the it's like a keyboard that you blow into.
Oh,
and it's,
yeah,
kind of sounds
yeah,
like an accordion.
Yeah.
But instead of compressing air with your arms, you blow into it.
So wait, why is your podcast called The Nerdist? Sweet, come on.
I don't
give us some skin.
Remember anymore. I'm going to tell my mom that you made fun of me. And she's going to
Hey, that's cool. You know, I'm just going to be playing jazz.
What?
You know, stand-up bass or whatever.
Are you in tight taint? You guys are great. Tight taint and the
yeah,
Giants.
It does sound like a great name.
Sim,
yeah.
what are you playing that's going to make us cool?
What's the piccolo? Isn't there an instrument called the piccolo?
Yes, it's
oh
a very
God.
Small flute.
Yes, it's like a flute, right.
The piccolo?
A piccolo is like, it's a very, very small flute.
An asshole band.
Okay, so what do you want to play?
I thought already, like I told, like stand-up, like
a stand-up bass.
Bass. Just bass. Like,
gotcha.
Electric bass.
This is not a cool band at all.
No, I know.
So the band has a piccolo, a melodica, and a stand-up bass
yes.
that you were playing.
And it's called Tight Taint.
Your hands were so far apart. I don't know. Do you have two stand-up basses?
Well, I thought for a minute that I could be like the sexy girl playing the cello with like her, you know, that big thing where it's like her legs are spread apart.
Oh, right, right,
like,
right.
And she's from Poland and she's like, oh. And everyone falls in love with her. But,
so specific. Have a unique okay, yeah, you're right. We were all thinking it. We were all thinking it. Yeah, you're right. Anna Faris, thank you so much for coming on. Sim Sarna,
thank
you so
much
for being
Chris.
Here as well. Katie, got to put you back
Katie,
out on the street.
I'm so sorry.
Katie, thank you so
Your
much.
Your parents are worried. I'm going to call them.
I apologize for like being so tedious and horrible.
No, not at all. You're right. Katie's been putting up with us for 6 years at this point. So she's
you're a dream, believe me. Thanks for listening to the podcast, everyone. Enjoy your burrito.
Ooh, Chris, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I like that last.
Enjoy your burrito. Melody. That's how we sign off. We say enjoy your burrito. That's our sign off. That's our tag.
You know, she eats burritos like three nights a week from Baja Fresh. No, Paquito Mas.
That's right, Sam.
Chicken burritos three nights a week.
What are you doing? Spying on me?
Quick!
I'm just saying that.
Hello, Harvey Levin. Have I got a scoop for you? Put down your sippy cup.
I mean, it's a little odd, right?
Not at all.
Who doesn't eat burritos?
Three times a week?
I used to eat Baja Fresh like five nights a week.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Until my stomach lining started to melt.
It's an efficient way to get deliciousness into your stomach so you can do other things.
That's right.
Okay.
It's all wrapped up. It's right there. You just pick it up and eat it, and then you're done.
I stand correct. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I brought it up.
What,
I apologize.
What's your efficient food?
I love In-N-Out.
That's not efficient. It takes like 40 minutes.
That's true. It does. You're right. It's not efficient.
Completely.
It's good, but it takes forever.
You're so right about that.
Epilogue.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.